Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. If you're watching me live on YouTube or Facebook, I thank you for sticking around. If you're watching on an audio, or if you're listening on an audio platform, I thank you for downloading part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. So, let's see what we have here in the live chat before I continue. And what is George Testens asking? Would like to see that blanket, Steeler Chick. Maybe Tony can flash your profile. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know what blanket you're referring to, George, but I'm sure it's an awesome one. So, all right. I'm going to go off the rails too quick. I don't want to lose my spot here. All right, here we are. Steelers Pittsburgh says about LeGarrette Blount walking off the field is so classless. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, especially you might think it's a minor thing to do that with 10 seconds left and you already had the game won or whatever, but it's such a taboo thing to do in the NFL. Even if you don't think it causes any harm, the way players look at that, the way coaches look at that is so, you know, they think of it as such a disrespectful thing to do as a teammate that you almost have to part ways with that guy for doing that. So, yeah. All right. And this leads into my next topic, and this is from Yul Skinner, and he asks, is Alex Highsmith still the guy? I'm beginning to wonder. And I'm beginning to wonder why you're wondering that, because there's no indication that he wouldn't be the guy. First of all, nobody knows if he's the guy. All we know is he had a decent showing last year after being a third-round pick out of Charlotte. He was backing up both Bud and TJ Watt, of course, and he had a decent enough showing. He made some plays, especially at the end of the year. But I don't know why you'd be wondering about Alex Highsmith. Based on what? Based on what? I mean, the fact that they signed Melvin Ingram, they signed him to be the backup, to be the veteran backup at outside linebacker. People were clamoring for that, right? They were clamoring for them to bring in a guy, a quality veteran player, to provide depth at outside linebacker. And they did that. Melvin Ingram, Justin Houston, they were the guys that people were talking about. They brought in Melvin Ingram, signed him to a one-year deal for $4 million. Suddenly, people are talking about Alex Highsmith as if he's in trouble, as if he's, you know, they don't have any confidence in him. And I just don't know why. I don't know why. Everybody knew that they had to address outside line, the depth at that position, and they did. So now people are starting to speculate, you know, why is Ingram here? Is he going to be the starter alongside Watt? If he was really capable of coming in and being Bud Dupree's replacement, would he have lasted until July? I don't think so. He lasted until July because, number one, he's 32 years old. Number two, he dealt with so many injuries over the past few years, serious injuries. And maybe number three, he was asking for too much money for what he's capable of doing at this point of his career. Players that are capable of filling in and replacing Bud Dupree, a player of that caliber, they don't last until July. they get snatched up pretty quickly. Now, a lot of people were saying, well, maybe he was just biding his time. People like Ingram and Houston, a lot of those players on that free agent list, people were trying to tell me that they were just biding their time, waiting for the right offer to come along. Yeah, they were doing that because their market in March was dried up. It was non-existent. So they had to wait. You know, if there was a prime market for those guys, they would have got signed right away. And there wouldn't be any question as to whether or not they were brought in to be the starter or the backup. It would be no doubt that it would be penciled in as the starter right from the very get-go. So I have all the confidence, well, as much confidence as I can have in a second-year player in Alex Highsmith. So I think people were, you know, jumping to conclusions and kind of overreacting when Ingram was brought in. And I know a lot of the reasons why. And that's because there's so much coverage on the NFL nowadays. Everything is like blown out of proportion, no matter what it is. It used to be back in the day, you know, guys would be brought in July, just signed off the street, and they'd come in like and do a good job and, you know, be a fill-in over the course of a year. And people would go, oh, great, that was good. I'm glad that they signed that player. You know, think of Manuel de Moore. I don't remember when they signed him, if it was early in free agency or late, but either way, you know, nobody was going nuts about Manuel de Moore when he was brought in here. Kimo von Allhoffen's another one. And yet, you know, they were really valuable veterans. Now, everybody that's a free agent, no matter how long they're sitting out there, people act like, well, if you don't get this guy in here, then your team has no chance of winning. If the Steelers don't bring this player in, then they're not committed. They need this guy to put them over the top. And like I wrote about the other day, if you need a player in July to put you over the top, you're probably going to be stuck at the bottom for most of the year. It's just how it is. So, and what else? What are people saying about Highsmith? Kreex says, Highsmith is the future. I do believe he starts, but it will take him another year, maybe two, to really go off. But he will still get 6 to 8 sacks. You know what? I think they would take that. Think about it. If you got TJ Watt, you know, approaching 13 to 14 sacks, presuming he has the same kind of year that he's had since 2017, and if Highsmith gets you 7, 8, 9, maybe Ingram in a reserve role throws in another 4 or 5, you would take that from the outside linebacker position, wouldn't you? I mean, you would take those kind of sacks, sack totals. I would, and especially when you consider how dominant that defensive line is when it comes to getting after the quarterback, when you're talking about Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt and even Alualu and you know, whoever else. I think you would take that kind of that combination of sacks from those three players, 24, 25 total. What's wrong with that? Russ Oberstein, this might be a good point. He says, I think Williams got angry when Ingram was signed for $4 million and he was only getting $1 million, and I don't blame him. Well, that if that's the case, then I guess you could say that, but I'm not. We might never know. That stuff might not come out until some future interview years down the road. Maybe he's on somebody's podcast in a couple of years. Maybe he's on Willie Colon's podcast on Barstool in a few years, and he says, "Oh yeah, when they signed Ingram, and you know, you brought me back, and I had to take a $3 million pay cut." Maybe it'll come out then. Or like Keith Butler said, maybe he just doesn't feel like he can do it anymore at the age of 31. And yeah, you know, George Seton says they play different positions, but that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, you've been here for 8 years as a loyal player, and they cut you and they bring you back at a reduced cost. And you bring in Ingram, this veteran who's older than you, who's been sitting out there for months, and you bring him in for $4 million. But again, that's just speculation. Nobody knows. So, on that note, I think I will open things up to some questions and comments to close out the show, because I ran through the three subjects I wanted to run through. There's one more thing I want to talk about, and that's the before I take some questions, and that's the announcement. I think it was on Wednesday that or maybe it was Thursday that the teams that have widespread COVID outbreaks, teams that aren't, you know, that have low vaccination rates, they could be subject to forfeits. And I think people jumped to conclusions there, thinking that it would be different than last year. But if you really look at the wording of it, and I think Dave Schofield did a good job of pointing this out the other day, the way they worded it, it said that they're going to do everything they can basically to get every game in through 18 weeks. But after 18 weeks, if there are games that can't be made up, then the team that's responsible, so to speak, for the outbreak, for the COVID outbreak, will have to forfeit. So I think it's going to be a lot like last year when it comes to how they handle COVID situations in 2021. If there's a bye that they can utilize, they're going to utilize it. If that means giving a team a bye way earlier than it should have had one, that's what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, if it means pushing games to a Wednesday, they're going to do that. If it means pushing games to a Thursday, they're going to do that. They're going to do everything they can to get all these games in. Because if you read that whole thing, and I read it over and over again, trying to understand it, because sometimes it takes me a while to understand these kind of things. If there's a game that's forfeited, both teams, meaning even the team that's innocent of the outbreak, that did everything right, neither team will get paid. Now, can you imagine the uproar over that if both teams had to forfeit their game checks because one team had an outbreak? So believe me, the NFL doesn't want that kind of mess. And they're going to do whatever, and they don't want to lose that kind of revenue either. They don't want to lose gate receipts, because you figure, unless there's some kind of lockdown again, they're going to be playing games in front of full stadiums this year, unlike last year. So they're not going to want to lose all that revenue. So, yeah, it might have seemed like, oh my gosh, you know, huge ramifications if a team has an outbreak, but it's really not going to be that, at least not until all other measures are exhausted. Then maybe you're looking at a forfeit, but they're going to do everything they can to get these games in. So that's the last thing I wanted to talk about. And now I will open things up to some questions. Paul Scherf, whose name I probably butchered, he joins us from YouTube, and he says, you hear that two coaches who have refused to get a vaccine have been let go. O-line coach for Vikings for one. I didn't hear that. That's kind of surprising. Now, is that the reason, or is it some other reason? Is it performance based? I don't know, but that's the first I'm hearing of it. Just Me says about the vaccine. People are chiming in with that. We have a WSU coach that came out and said he wasn't getting it. School was out on damage control. Yeah, it's gonna be probably one of the most controversial things that we hear about week in and week out this year. Whether it be the NFL or at the college ranks, it's players that aren't and coaches that don't want to get the vaccine for one reason or another. You can, whether it's political or just because they're afraid of the health ramifications. It's going to be a big thing. It's already been a big thing this offseason. Guys like Cole Beasley and DeAndre Hopkins have been pretty vocal about it. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see. You know, if we thought it was going to be different than it was last year as far as COVID throwing a wrench into the works, maybe not. I was hoping it would be a lot different, but you just this is like an unprecedented thing, like I said many times last year. So hopefully it is mostly a thing that's in the background, but you know, All I can do with that is cross my fingers. So, let's see what we have here. Let's see if we can get some real football stuff. Here's one from Brian Brown. This is a pretty, it's not a comment. It's not a question, but it's a comment. He says, the Steelers are going to kick the doggy do out of everybody. Wow. Now that's, you know, if more national reporters had, you know, and analysts said that kind of stuff, I think Steeler fans would feel more respected. But unfortunately, it's been kind of the opposite predictions this offseason. All right. Russ Obenstein says secondary battle is going to be great. Yeah, we were talking about that on Monday, Shannon and I. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because obviously you have Joe Hayden, who's your starter, and of course you have Edmonds and Fitzpatrick as your safeties. Who's going to get that number two cornerback spot? Is it going to be James Pierre? Is it going to be Justin Lane? Is it going to be one of these undrafted free agent rookies? Wouldn't that be something? Is it going to have to be Cam Sutton, who moves over and plays on the outside, and they have to move somebody into the slot? People were already talking up Antoine Brooks. Evidently, he made a pretty spectacular interception in early days of training camp. So if there's somebody that, you know, your sixth-round pick last year, kind of a forgotten guy, wouldn't that be something if he rose up and made a huge leap and played a valuable role for them in 2021? That would be spectacular. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, those underdog stories that are really fun to witness as a fan. We saw it with Mike Hilton back in 2017. He kind of came out of nowhere. People were reeling from the Sesquez Golson, the second round pick in 2015, who just suffered injury after injury. I don't even think he made it into a preseason game, if I'm not mistaken. He certainly didn't make it into a regular season game, and he never made the final roster. And they were reeling from that, and they found somebody else from Ole Miss, an undrafted free agent, and he became one of the best slot corners in the game. So you just never know. Reginald Rivers asked, and by the way, welcome, Reggie, and I saw Clarence Washington and Michael O'Malley's here, so welcome, everybody. Do you think all Steelers draft picks will make the roster? Do I think they will? No. I mean, I think the odds are pretty long in most years that every draft pick will make it. It'd be nice, and when I say that, I mean. If they were all that good that they made the final roster, I think that would bode well for the job that the scouts did, and Kevin Colbert and Tomlin, and, you know, and analyzing these players this past offseason, evaluating them. But do I think they'll all make it? I mean, if I was a betting man, I'd say no, just based on history. That's a lot of guys. That's a lot of rookies to have to, you know, to really catch on quickly and make an NFL roster in their first year. All right, let's go on down the line here. All right. Mule Skinner says of Brooks. Oops, I skipped it. He says, Mule. What? Boy, I'm having a lot of bloopers tonight here. Well, at least I'm on the air. Last week at this time, I was still trying to get on the air. Anyway, Mule says that Brooks isn't fast enough to play slot, so I guess we'll have to find out. Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, he barely got to play last year, and he certainly didn't get to play in the preseason because they didn't have a preseason last year. So let's see what happens once these guys play some in-stadium football, meaning the preseason, because that's when all the youngsters are going to get long looks or longer looks. All right. Evidently, we're having a war in the live chat about the vaccine, which is why I was kind of afraid to bring it up. But whatever, it is what it is. You can't hide from it. It's a real thing, and it's going to affect the NFL one way or another this year. So you kind of have to talk about it. But nobody's ever going to see eye to eye on this. You would think people would. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I was hoping everybody would just get the vaccine and we would just move forward. But that's just my own opinion. But I won't address it any further because I know you can't address stuff like that. People just go nuts with it, but whatever. And Allie Howard says something that you hardly ever see on social media. Steelers are contenders as long as Mike Tomlin is here. There you go. I agree. So far, it's been proven to be correct. They've only played one game where they were officially eliminated from the playoffs with him as head coach. So. Here's one from the always outspoken Mule, and he says, Bugs will probably be cut so that Loudermilk can be given a gift position. I don't know why you say that. You know, yeah, they traded up to get him in the fifth round, but you're not going to, you know, hurt your team by keeping a guy like that that doesn't deserve to be here, that just to save face. I mean, it's a fifth-round pick. It's not like they traded up in the first round and reached for him or anything like that. So, all right. And let's see what else we have here. And Mule says Loudermilk is soft. Boy, Mule he's bringing the opinions tonight. Brooks is slow. Loudermilk is soft. I don't know how anybody named Loudermilk can be soft. I mean, I'm just saying, that seems like a pretty tough name. To have a name like that, you'd have to be ready to handle yourself at any given moment. All right. And George Teston asks, if Tomlin goes, who can replace him? Who knows? I'm sure you can list 50 candidates, but that's for a podcast way, way down the road, I think, because I think Tomlin's going to be here for another 5-10 years. Steeler Chick 46 asks, this is one I can't really answer. How many interceptions will Minka get this season? I hope he gets 5 or 6, because I think if he gets 5 or 6, then he's your typical big play making Minka Fitzpatrick. He's probably in the running for a defensive player of the year. You know, he's probably scoring 1 or 2 touchdowns off of those 5 or 6 picks. So I hope it's 5 or 6. Well, there you go. Kathy Ford asked, how many returns for 6? I'll say 2. There you go. All right. On that note, I think I will, at the 42-minute mark, I think I will bid you adieu. I'm kind of out of steam. But look at it this way, Steeler fans. Training camp is here. And today is the 23rd of July as I'm doing this show. And maybe when you're listening to it, it's like the 25th or the 26th of July. That means there's less than 2 weeks before there's an actual game to talk about. I'll be so excited 2 weeks from tonight. I'll be talking about the Hall of Fame game, the aftermath, and who looked great and who didn't. And did Ben play? Didn't he play? Should he have played? Why didn't Najee Harris play? Because I predict he won't play. I predict he's already going to be the starter. It's going to be like a Le'Veon Bell thing. Every little bump and bruise that he gets, they're going to hold him out because I think they know he's their guy. So I can't wait for that. But in the meantime, we have plenty more podcasts you can listen to and watch and download. And of course, we have countless articles coming your way about training camp and players and transactions and trades. Maybe, who knows? Probably not trades, but certainly, there could be another signing in the mix. You just never know. So please check out Behind the Store Curtain, the website. Again, I'm asking you, please, and subscribe to YouTube, our YouTube channel, and watch us on Facebook. We're very active on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us everywhere. But until I talk to you again on Monday with Brian and Shannon on The Hangover, you guys have a great weekend. And as always, go Steelers.